Hey everybody, it's Rider Club Radio, the only podcast on the entire internet about Kamen Rider. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And this week, we watched the newest episode of Kamen Rider X-Aid, insert number here, 25, I think.
25, the best one.
25. And we watched Kamen Rider Phi's episodes 31, 32, and 33. Liam.
Yes.
Please tell me what happened on X-Aid this week, because I can't be fucking bothered to watch these shows.
Okay. On X-Aid this week, a bunch of Bugster calls are coming in. They're hanging around the thing. They're hanging around the whole thing. They're like, wow, where's... They're in the pit, is what I meant to say. And they're like, where's...
They're in the CR.
The CR. It's the pit. They're like, where's Poppy been lately? We haven't seen her in like a week, and we're just now noticing. And Brave's like, yeah, Poppy's been gone. It's been really nice around here. Really quiet. I actually enjoy coming into work. It's weird. And then they get a bunch of calls on their 12 different cell phones. They get calls.
Yeah, they're not even 12 cell phones. They have 12 landlines.
Yeah.
In the room with them. It's the break room of the CR. There are 12 landlines.
It's for this exact situation, there's 12 landlines. Because there's Bugster calls coming in from all over Tokyo. Just Tokyo.
My favorite part about CR is that it's responsible for all of Japan's dealing with this horrible epidemic, right?
Mm.
And it has 4 employees.
Oh, boy. Well, two official riders. Two official people who can deal with it. One guy who's rogue and one guy who's dead is their entire workforce.
Their entire workforce is Emu, Brave, Poppy, who's quit and become an idol or whatever, Brave's dad, and that's fucking it. There were 4 people working there.
That's, in these Japan shows, it's always like this machine empire pops out of Alaska, and we declare war on the whole world, but we're only going to attack Tokyo. That's where we start.
Of course.
Take Tokyo, the rest of the plan comes into play.
Well, little known fact, once Tokyo comes under evil control, the rest of the planet just falls.
Really?
Yeah, that's how the Ottoman Empire happened.
Well, shit.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Look it up, history, man.
That Ottoman Empire that attacked Japan and then took over the whole world, yeah. Where the fuck were we? Okay, so there's Bugster calls all over the place. Emu goes to respond to them, and it turns out it's because people are playing Kamen Rider Chronicle. It's like a video game that everyone bought. It's rated A for all ages for some fucking reason. And you hit it, and you turn into a Kamen Rider, and you fight Bugsters. So these Bugsters are appearing all over Tokyo, and that's where
I want to take 1 second.
Okay, what?
And point out to you that when the title screen for Kamen Rider Chronicle popped up, and there was a blank space with, like, a silhouette of a rider with a different mask, I said, I bet that's gonna be a different rider. And you said, no, it's just a placeholder. Who was right?
I'm not gonna say. I'm just gonna let
No, you have to tell the people at home. They won't know otherwise.
They're not gonna know? They're not gonna understand?
No, they gotta know!
Jeff was right.
That's right, he was. Everyone clap your hands for Jeff. Yay.
Yeah, there's the fanfare. You could die happy now.
It's all I get in my life, man. That's it.
Okay. So there's riders fighting all over the place. It's a big, chaotic thing. And it turns out how Kamen Rider Chronicle works is you fight these Bugsters, and once you beat all of them, then the big boss Bugster will appear. I guess once they all die, a fucking portal to the Bugster world will open up, and the big boss Bugster will appear. Poppy explains all this because she's brainwashed and she's working for the game. So
she is the tutorial. She is Omo Chow.
She's the... You can't pick her up and throw her off a ledge, unfortunately.
Sadly but not.
She's there to tell you how it goes. And she says, oh, all the way... By the way, this is my favorite part. By the way, there's also these special enemies running around. Kamen Riders. And if you beat them up and take their shit, you can use their weapons so you can, like, fight the Bugsters better.
Which is fucking amazing.
That's so clever.
That is super clever. That's the perfect way to integrate these Mook Riders into the series.
Because
that's what they are.
They're Mook Riders, yeah.
They're like really shitty, weak riders, but they're attacking literally everyone.
And it's
which
so...
Which is great.
I'm so fucking glad it's not mind control. We were debating over that last time.
Yeah, me too. It's just a bunch of fucking idiots.
It's just people who think it's a video game. They don't think it's harmful when they're beating up riders. They just think it's a fucking video game.
We learn different later.
Oh boy, a small handful of people learn. But they fight these riders. They try to fight Exei and they try to fight Brave. They're like, give me your shit. Oh, I want that flame sword so bad. It's like an MMO. They're going for your loot.
They're trying to gank squad you to take your loot. And but fucking, like, Emu's just like, you know what? I'm not even playing around with this shit. And he puts in his Maximum Mighty Gamer X Gamer
Gishat. Maximum Mighty Gamer X Gamer Game Gishat.
And it turns him into Voltron, and nobody wants to fight him. So yeah. They all just go home.
One guy stays. He's like, I'm gonna be the guy. And Emu's like, just fuck off. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. Fine, I guess.
Oh, no, I've got the sickness! Bah!
Oh, God, it makes you sick, because it just calls so much bugsters. Meanwhile, Snipe and Brave, they go to talk to Fat Dan. They're like, Dan, why? I thought... Fat... His name's Ren, is it?
Fucking Fat Dan!
That's who he is. He's Fat Fabulous Dan. My big, he's fat, fabulous
fucking
Dan.
Fucking Fat Dan. It's his name forever now. I don't know. I don't care what his real name is. He's Fat Dan.
Okay, they go to talk to Fat Dan, and they're like, Fat Dan? Why has Genmu had three evil CEOs in a row? What's this shit? What's your plan here? And Dan says, well, you know, you'll have to wait and see. You'll have to wait and see. And they don't just beat him up. They let him walk off.
This show's gonna get real confusing. Rider Club Radio, because there are three characters we're calling Dan now.
We should just call him Ren.
Fat Ren?
Fat Ren.
I'm gonna have to call him Fat Dan. Don't Fat call him Albert. Dan. Call him Fat Dan.
He'll be Fat Dan. Alright.
Okay.
He's the Dan placeholder. Not quite as good.
Not quite. Nowhere near as good.
Nowhere near
actually.
As good. So Dan, like, doesn't reveal his motives. Fat Dan, sorry, doesn't reveal his motives for releasing the game. Just that he just did it for funsies. And all the Bugsters are gathered. Now they're all, like, in the game. They're all the game's bosses. Salty and the Racer and all them. That's why Dan had to collect their data. Because he needs them to be bosses in this game, Kamen Rider Chronicle. So that's the whole like situation that's set up. At the end of the day, Emu gets his ass beat by a whole bunch of ride players, they're called. The brown, shitty riders.
Yeah, I think ride players.
Ride players.
They all, like, team up on him and just start yanking shit off of him. And they, like, grab his weapons and start hitting them with them and shit. And he eventually just gets knocked out of his regular form, and they just steal all of his shit.
Yeah, they take his gamer driver, they take his,
like,
Gashicon,
his fucking
bam.
It's like his car broke down in the middle of Detroit. It's just everything's gone.
You look, yeah, the engine's gone, the seats are gone. They it's neat. They take one guy gets Giri Yuri Chanbara, and he hits it, and you get the Gashicon Sparrow. So that's how it works. Like, you sort of just get better gear. That's how the game works.
Mm-hmm.
So all these guys are fighting, and Emu's like, well, they just stole all my shit. I guess I gotta buy a copy of Kamen Rider Chronicles so I can get it back eventually. And then Parrot appears, beats the fuck out of all of them. They get knocked out of their transformation, and then they start disappearing. Everyone's like, what's going on? Poppy appears and says, hey, one thing I forgot to tell you when you bought the game, if you lose...
If you die in the game, you die for real.
Fucking die for real. Rated A for all ages. And they're like... They're like, oh, fuck, and they turn into a bunch of zeros and ones. They fade away into the ether.
Oh, fuck, I didn't know I was playing for keeps! And they just disappear.
And that's the big reveal. That's the big reveal.
And Emu's like, how could you? And fucking Parrot's like, I'm the villain. Didn't you know this?
Parrot reveals something interesting in that his whole thing is like, we video game villains... We're tired of being beaten by humans, and Kamen Rider Chronicle is just a ploy to get humans to come out and fight Bugsters, so the Bugsters can kill them, and that's why the game is ridiculously stacked against humans.
We are going to wipe out humanity.
Just from them playing this game. So, Jeff, what did you think of X825?
This is probably my favorite episode of the show so far.
Yeah, same here.
It sets up everything so beautifully. Everything is done so clever. Yeah. And it's like... It's simultaneously really high stakes, and, like, shit's going crazy, but it's also really, really fun at the same time.
Yeah, it's such an awesome concept of, like, here's this... Like you said, we were so scared, it's like they hit Kamen Rider Chronicle and it forces random people into the game. I thought that was what it was. But it's just people playing an MMO and acting like dick players. Like, that's the whole thing. I love that.
It's using humanity's own hubris against them.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And it actually makes sense that it sells this time, unlike that Google Glass thing from Kamen Rider Ghost. Because it's a fucking video game and word of mouth gets
around. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that if a game came out today that let you turn into a superhero in fucking real life and fight, like, holographic enemies and shit?
It doesn't matter if it's marketed or not. People would buy that shit in a second. Within the weekend, it would sell over, like, 20 mil.
Yeah, no doubt. I'd buy it.
I'd be out there
just like one of those brown dickheads. Like, give me that weapon!
I'd be running after Brave. Give me that fucking sword. I'll beat you.
Give me that fucking hammer! Take your belt off and give it to me.
Just give me your shit. It's such an amazing setup for it, and I love, obviously I love Fat Dan, and I'm still holding out hope that Dan himself will return, because if you look at the Kamen Rider Chronicle Gashat, there is a specific rider on there with the horns.
True.
He's got the horns. There's a rider who's probably going to be called Kamen Rider Chronicle who's going to appear, maybe if you stick that in a Buggle Driver.
Maybe that's the final villain. Like, the final Bugster will be, like, Dan's Data.
Oh, it could be. Like, after all the other ones are beaten.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be killer?
That is pretty killer.
But it's, like, everything about this nothing in this episode pissed me off. Even Poppy being the tutorial character was so fucking fitting.
It's so perfect.
I wasn't pissed off at any point during.
It's a great way to use her. Like, her voice is irritating, but she doesn't do anything dumb. She's just, like, the peppy guide for new players.
She is the shitty tutorial.
Like you said, the Omo Chow.
And then, at the end of the level, Fat Dan gives her some flowers that have a Buggle Driver and a Gashat in them.
Oh, boy. Kamen Rider Poppy coming up.
Is she actually Kamen Rider Poppy?
Her name is Kamen Rider Poppy, yes.
That makes me vomit in my mouth. Her design actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like her, but armor.
Yeah, but it's like, it genuinely looks pretty neat for the concept.
I think it's okay. I don't love it or hate it. I'm completely neutral on the Poppy armor.
I would rather she just stay in that all the time than the stupid, hideous outfit she's always wearing. Where she looks like a clown.
She does kind of look like a clown. I don't like characters in Toku that are always wearing suits. I didn't like those guys from Q-Ranger that were always wearing suits, like that gold dude, Libra.
Well, I like Den-O when the Imagine wear
suits. I guess the Imagines aren't bad.
It really depends on the suits.
It depends, yeah.
Yeah, and it also depends on the characters and the suits.
Yeah, if Poppy was like that all the time, it would make me think of Velma from Q-Ranger.
Yeah, Velma?
Well, you know, what the fuck was it? Raptor, that was it.
Yeah, Raptor. That was a real fitting name.
Because she's a bird.
Yeah, whatever. Apparently that show's gotten better, is what people have told me.
Yeah, that's what I hear too.
I guess maybe I'll have to give it another try at some point. But we're talking about Kamen Rider Chronicle, the series.
Kamen Rider Chronicle. I want to fucking... When they release the DX Kamen Rider Chronicle, whenever they release... I know they haven't because I fucking searched high and low for it after watching this and I couldn't
find really
it.
Do want it, really bad.
I hope it comes in the actual video game box with the CERO rating and everything. I want it to come in a box that looks like a video game that you're buying.
I do too.
That'd be great. And like, the other ones kind of come in a box that's like, here's this DX toy. I want it to be like Kamen Rider Chronicle for the fucking Nintendo whatever.
I love... The thing is, these people press the button... And to transform, and they do it, like, a bunch of times.
Hmm.
But after the first time I pressed it, and it went, Kamen Rider Chronicle, I'd probably go, shit, I probably shouldn't mess with this anymore.
this is a little strange.
That sounds evil as fuck. I probably shouldn't be messing with that.
After my friend loses at the game, and then I never see him again, I'd probably stop. I'd probably put that down.
Yeah, that'd probably be the end of it.
Go back to Breath of the Wild or something.
Yeah, I was just about to say, in Breath of the Wild, there's a statue that'll in Hateno Village that'll switch your stamina bar upgrades with your heart upgrades and vice versa.
Yeah.
And it is evil as holy fuck, so I just won't mess with it. Like, it's like the devil. I don't want to fuck with that. What's it going to do?
You don't know. It might ask for a price.
It might ask for a steep price.
There is
I can't afford them rupees.
Speaking of video games, there is a merchant. You ever played Castlevania 64, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
There is
a beaten Castlevania 64.
Yeah, great game. There's a guy in it who's like a merchant. He sells his shit, and you activate him by picking up this thing.
Renard.
How the fuck did you remember his name?
Because I played a lot of that game when I was younger.
You activate this thing called the contract to buy from him, and he's very suspicious, much like Kamen Rider Chronicle.
It really turns out you find out why later in the game.
If you spend, I think, more than 2,000 or 3,000 gold on him, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, the contract is if you use my services enough, I get to take your soul. And he's a boss fight. But if you don't, he just appears and says, see ya, World War I's gonna start soon, and a lot of people are gonna come to hell, so I gotta go. And that's it.
I gotta go because I'm fucking Satan. Spoilers.
But that connects, obviously, to what we were talking about, because Kamen Rider Chronicle is evil if you use it too much. It's a real interesting premise.
It's an interesting premise that, like, none of these people understand, and they're not going to listen either. When all the writers are like, stop using Kamen Rider Chronicle or you'll die, they'll be like, fuck off.
Here's the thing.
You're just trying to get all the good loot.
You're just trying to kill Steel. X8 comes in and starts fighting Bucksters, and they're like, stop stealing our XP, dude. And they start
beating him up. Fucking kill Stealer, get out of here. Here's Hacks, look at all this gear he's got.
Yeah, obviously fucking some dude from Korea been playing 24/7.
This dude's using fucking Game Shark. Get over here.
Here's the
mods.
Thing. Here's the thing. CR works for the Ministry of Health, right?
Sure.
Ministry of Health is probably a government institution, right?
True.
Why don't they just ban Kamen Rider Chronicle?
Because then you'll have, like, underground Kamen Rider Chronicle street fighting.
Oh my god, that's 10 times cooler.
Maybe they will try and ban it. Maybe that's what'll happen.
Maybe. Maybe it's like the install base is just too high, too many people already have it. And
there's so many options.
So many ways you can go with this story.
And the funny part about it is, like, Parrot is apparently just, like, a real... has a similar level of just being a bitter twat. Like, he hates humanity so much because they beat him in video games a lot, so he is going to personally murder them in small groups until he has wiped out the entire population of the planet. That's his plan right now.
What about the people who don't play video games?
Well, they'll die of starvation eventually, I guess.
I mean, I bet they'd start if they were like, here's this game that turns you into a fucking real superhero.
Yeah. How do you turn that shit down?
You can't. It's impossible.
No thanks. I'd rather watch the fucking Saved by the Bell marathon on DS. No, everybody's gonna turn into a superhero.
No wonder it sells so much. Fuck, they've sold me on it. I want a DX Kamen Rider Chronicle real bad right now.
I do too. I want a lot of DX Kamen Rider shit, to be honest.
That's true, if we're being honest. I try not
to even look at it anymore, because every time I look at it, like, this powerful-ass urge overcomes me.
That's the Toei mind control coming through your computer screen. The Bandai mind control.
It's strong. It's so strong.
It's like the Force.
I was looking at figure arts the other day, and, like, I had shit in my basket. I had it, like, ready to check out in my cart.
That close.
And I was like, no, I can't. I have to eat food to live. I have to stop.
Oh, shit. But if you get Chronicle right away, it'll probably only be like 10, 15 bucks. So
that's true. Sure, if you wait, it's going to be ridiculous. What if it's like an exclusive, though?
Oh, fuck off.
It's like a fucking web exclusive.
That's so counter to the spirit of that game.
It really is, but you know Toei would do that.
They might do. If they do that, then fuck. I've done that before where I bought... the DX Ornak Loxy was exclusive, and I just went through a middleman. I just said just someone was selling pre-orders for it, so I just bought that, and I did pay a little hefty sum over, but I got it.
An exorbitant fee.
An exorbitant fee, I would call it, but I got it.
I don't even have the DX Knuckleman.
I got the candy toy. I think that one was also exclusive. I don't know.
I got the candy toy version.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. It's fun.
Loxies
it's fun to
cool
mess
look.
With.
Like, I don't... They look cool. That's the point. They all look the same, really, when you
sit on the
desk.
And they make fun noises.
Yeah.
I got a candy toy version of Brave's Gashat Tattle Quest.
Yeah,
and it doesn't light up or fucking anything.
Really?
Shit.
This is the first season in a while where the DX ones are actually a little different than the candy toy ones. Like, the cars and the icons were not fucking no difference at all between them.
Yeah, you know how the little buttons on the side of the DX ones, like, do different sounds and different combinations of pressing them do different things?
Yeah.
The candy toy literally just has the button on the side, and you just press it, and it says one of four phrases. I felt so ripped off.
That's a shame, but it was cheap.
It could be a bootleg, for all I know, to be honest. But I bought it at a convention.
Oh, yeah. Sucks.
But, fucking X-Aid, the opening was also great.
Oh, yeah, there's a new opening this week, and it really showcases Parrot's new form that he's getting.
Yeah, which looks terrifying.
It's like a combination of both of them.
Oh, so it's not going to be terrifying at all.
It's gonna be.
It's gonna look goofy as fuck. Is what you're telling me.
It looks a little weird. I've seen a blurry scan. It looks a little weird.
Well, suffice to say, I'm really excited about where X8 is gonna go from here on out.
Yeah, this episode almost feels like the start of a new show. It's got like
a little bit.
It throws a whole new premise at you. It throws a whole new like villain in Fat Dan. New villain motivations. It's like the second half of the show is like this really stark difference.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's like the first half of the show was just a giant setup for the second half. Which, if that's how Ryder is going to be from now on, I don't think I'd get mad at that.
I doubt it. I doubt that's going to be a trend after X-Aid, but fuck, this is cool. I kind of hope
because
it is.
The problem with previous series is that it's so dragged out. They have so many episodes that there's just this barren wasteland in the middle where nothing happens.
Yeah, but this way they can, like, we tell one story, 25 episodes, and then that story sort of connects with this second story that's got a new premise in the second half. Today, just before we started, just out of curiosity, I went to the Kamen Rider Wiki article for Kamen Rider Chronicle.
Okay.
And I found, I found in the notes this little gem. Here we go. The game itself shares similarities with the titular game of the anime/light novel Sword Art Online, where people are within a virtual environment, and the person who made the video game turns it into a game where people must fight with their own lives at stake.
Who writes this shit?
Oh my god, there's so much here. There's so much.
Why? I know, like, teenagers write this shit,
mm-hmm.
But who is like, oh my god, that reminds me so much of an anime I love.
The game containing representation from every Genmu Corporation game is likely a reference to the famous Nintendo series Super Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers,
where
oh
mostly
my
various
fucking
Nintendo
god.
Battle. I have to get off this, it's like a drug.
I just don't understand. I just don't get it.
Oh well. It's like us when we're watching this, when we're doing this stupid podcast, where I was like, this reminds me of Castlevania 64, except they
Yeah, but then
somewhere.
We don't go on the wiki and fucking update it with that.
Yeah, we should. Holy shit.
If you're listening to this right now and you have access to updating the Kamen Rider Wiki in a lot of free time, every time we say something reminds us of something, please update the wiki with this completely false, unhelpful information.
Yeah, gonna be a lot of Star Trek stuff on that wiki from here on.
No doubt.
I love this episode. Is there anything else you want to say
too.
About it?
This was a fucking thumbs up episode. 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, 15 out of 15.
Two thumbs way up. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Erection, 100% erect.
100% erect. All 2.5 inches.
Wow.
Wow. Jeff, would you like to hear some news?
Yeah, let's hear some news.
Well, first of all, the Tokusatsu Network had a couple good zingers for April Fool's Day this week.
Doubt it.
Namely, the Forze localization they talked about, and Jackie Chan, like, coming to guest star on Sentai and some other shit that they had. Some
people believe that shit.
When I saw the Forze localization, I believed it for a second.
Why are you so dumb?
It could happen. It almost happened. Forze was almost Power Rider.
No, it wasn't.
It was. You can find There's like some Lunchable thing that has it on.
Yeah, it's fuck off.
Yeah,
it yeah, almost, that was almost.
It almost happened.
They almost made a Lunchable. That
that's the first step towards Power Rangers is a Lunchable.
Okay. I didn't know the fucking 12-step program to make a Power Rangers program.
It's a lot more complicated over here than in Japan.
You start fucking Lunchable. Step one. Step two. Fish sausages.
Yeah. You gotta work up to it, really. It's
step three, Oprah appearance.
Oh, God. What the fuck would Kamen Rider Forze do on Oprah, I wonder?
It would be space time.
Oh, of course.
It would be filling space time. It would
be filling time with space time. In between giving everyone cars.
How come we didn't do an April Fool's?
Because we didn't drop an episode around April. April Fool's dropped, like, in the midpoint between two Rider Club Radio episodes this week. This year, so I was like, ah, fuck it.
We're lazy as fuck with this show. Oh, well.
That's true. The first
year, you idiots Shocker, still listen to it.
Yeah. We did Shocker Club Radio 1 year, and then the next year was... It wasn't even really an April Fool's joke. It was just you weren't there for some reason, and we had Tomas on instead. So we were like, ah, let's just make this the thing.
The first year was...
Oh, yeah, Super Sentai Second.
Super Sentai Second.
Right.
And then it was Shocker Club Radio.
I thought that was for Halloween.
That was for Halloween.
Yeah,
Tomas being on was the other year.
I can't even remember my own show anymore. Fuck me.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares about this fucking program?
I do have a piece of actual news, though.
Okay, tell us.
There is going to be a spinoff, like, fucking V-Cinema. Surprising absolutely no one, Kamen Rider Laser is coming soon.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. There's absolutely no plot info, but it's coming soon. Laser's really popular.
He's a handsome boy.
He's a handsome boy. Every single thing other than the show, he's like exploding in.
He's popular. He's popular, man.
It's like you said last week, he's popular, but he's out of the show, so they just gotta put him in everything else, I guess.
He's gonna like come back to life eventually.
Not in the show.
I got some news.
What's your news?
They're gonna be releasing a Juojo movie.
Yeah, we already knew about the Juojo movie, the one where they use a kung fu tournament to decide the fate of the Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I saw the poster.
The poster was released, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'll have that in the
and
one post.
And they're all dressed like Yakuza characters.
Yeah, they got the suits and the
which
weird
is fucking
dresses.
Great.
Really cool.
The way Ian Vaffler pointed it out is that it's like a fucking Shaw Brothers movie poster, straight up kung fu movie from the 70s.
Yeah, oh god, I wish the movie would be actually in that style, but probably not.
It would be amazing. They're all dressed like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to see it so bad.
Well,
is there any more news, or is that all?
Kind of news. Did you see that weird fish samurai rider rumor for next year?
Yeah.
Do you think it's real, or do you think it's a local hero, or a hoax, or
I don't know, man. Whatever I weigh in as, if I say it's not real, it's going to end up being real, and if I say it's real, it's going to end up being not real.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
That's just how it works.
It looks not real to me. I'm going to guess not real. The belt isn't prominent.
I am also going to guess not real.
There's one source, I don't remember who it is, or what the exact name is, but every year they come with, like, a really rough sketch of, like, here's the rider, and that guy always ends up being right. So when I get this weird doodle, that's, like, colored in with colored pencils, then that's when you know who the next rider's gonna be. He did it with Drive and X8, and I think he did it with Gaim, too. I don't know who they are, though.
In further news about characters being teased, at Great Bit Blog show, like, linked us in, like, added us in a thread about Ultraman Zed.
Ultraman Zed. I saw that.
Being teased, and, like, people were just talking about it with us still tagged.
Wait,
the whole time.
Wait, is it X-E-E-D?
X-E-A-D.
X-E-A-D. Maybe it's Exceed.
Like, Exceed,
like
maybe?
Exceed
yeah,
charge.
Ultraman Exceed.
But that would be too
maybe
similar to X-Aid.
But, people were just talking about it with us still tagged, and the whole time I was like, man, I wish I had anything to add to this.
I don't watch Ultraman.
I don't know jack shit about Ultraman, so.
I saw that. I'm not sure, like, is that confirmed, or is that just a rumor?
No, that's a rumor.
It looks kind of fake.
Yeah, it looks pretty fake. But it might turn out to be real now that we said that.
Might
so if you like that design, you're welcome.
Yeah. Rider Club Racing. Sometimes we're prophets and sometimes we're opposite prophets. It depends. Depends on the day.
We're no prophets.
We're non-prophets, yeah, sometimes.
Oh!
Hey-o.
So that's enough of news.
That's enough of news. Let's talk about our favorite show, Kamen Rider Fies.
Let's say Moshi Moshi Fies.
Moshi Moshi, hello?
Hello?
Let's place a collect call to
hello?
To Inui.
Inui? Hello?
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 This week's episodes are about Sawada, a guy who sucks.
Still
about Sawada, a guy who sucks, and also about, it's a little about Deno, the belt gets passed, or Deno, Delta, the belt gets passed around a little, and about Mari dying. So, Jeff, what did you think of these three episodes?
The first two are really fucking heavy on that J-drama shit.
You mean with Sawada?
Yeah, Sawada and his fucking feelings for Mari, and Mari's feelings for Sawada, and Kusaka's feelings for Mari, and fucking Kiba and Takumi are gonna kiss, but then fucking Kusaka ruins it.
Here's the thing with Kiba and Takumi this week. Like before, I like that they are opposed. I think that's cool.
It's really stupid the way that they're opposed, though, why they end up opposed again.
In this episode, their reason for hating each other especially a lot is literally a joke. It's like, Keitaro and Kaido are gonna, they're like, we're gonna be cool guys, and they start dressing dumb and acting dumb, and instead of sitting down to talk it out, Takumi and Kiba decide to send messages through these two idiots to each other. And they
get the messages wrong.
They get the messages wrong and only make them hate each other more. And when they do finally meet up and talk face to face, it's like they word it perfectly so that neither of them understands what's actually happening. Like, what happens is Takumi...
Liam, this sounds like an Inoue show.
A little bit. It's a little like an Inoue show. Sawada wants to meet with Mari because I feel like I love you. Maybe I could still be a human. They get attacked by an Orphanok, another Orphanok other than Sawada. Takumi says, Sawada, take Mari and go. Sawada takes Mari and goes. He says, I actually took you to kill you because I want to give away my humanity. He punches Mari right in the stomach, and she falls down. Meanwhile, Kusaka tells Kiba that it's Mari. Oh, Takumi attacked Mari. So when Kiba and Takumi meet, Kiba says, it's your fault that Mari got hurt. He doesn't say, you attacked Mari. He just says, it's your fault. And Takumi says, yeah, it was my fault, because he's the one that sent Mari away
with Sawada. So then they fucking punch each other
a lot. So then they punch the fuck out of each other.
And Delta shows up. Fucking Orphanok who makes people... what's his name?
Kazuma? Tazuba?
No.
Tzatziki?
Tzatziki sauce shows up. And it's delicious.
I don't remember his name. Kenzaki?
Kenzaki Shiro shows up.
Oh, God,
and
I wish.
He joins the Tatakai. No, fucking Delta shows up.
Yeah.
And his Orphanok user. And he's like, I want to play too. And fucking Kiba and Takumi just punch each other out. And they fall on the ground. And Delta's like, oh, okay, then I guess I'm bored. And he just fucking gives the belt to Sawada. And Sawada just gives it to Kusaka. And then Kusaka has three fucking belts.
People's motivations in this... Like, this show is starting to break down a little. It's starting to break down and become funny. And people's motivations are getting kind of muddled, and the plot is getting really convenient in order to hold itself up. Like, with all the shit I was talking about. Like, there's a reason I was, like... 15-minute rambling about that fucking Fizen and Horse Orphanok thing, because it gets real convenient to keep those two hating each other.
Yeah, it's everything that has to absolutely happen to keep them disliking each other happens. And if it didn't, if one of those puzzle pieces didn't fall into place, the whole plot would just crumble.
They'd be friends, and then everything, there'd be no drama left. So a series of insane coincidences has to happen to keep them being enemies. It's just nuts. And as much as I love that rivalry, like you said, there's a really obvious way to make it real, and that's that just have Takumi find out that he killed his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, that's all you need to do.
Yeah, that's something you could hold against someone for a long time.
But instead, Kusaka's like, hey, Takumi punched his friend, who you've never seen him even fucking raise his voice to. He just fucking punched her and put her in the hospital
because no reason.
Evil.
Yeah.
But why did he do it? I just fucking told you, he's evil.
He's evil. I told you, he's just playing with his power as Fies. He's just
He is the enemy to both humanity and Orphanox. Were you not listening?
Weren't you listening earlier when I told you he was bad? That's my proof.
And, of course, Kiba's like, oh my god, he's right.
What if he's right? I better confront him, but only speak in vague generalities so he doesn't actually know what the problem is. I don't
And everyone in the plot is completely pointless. Like, everyone who we thought was going to be real, like, important to the plot is, like, completely fucking pointless at this point.
Yeah.
Like, the only Orphanok that's even important anymore is Kiba. Yeah. The other Orphanoks are just, like, fucking, like,
just Hojo's around.
Hojo's comic relief now.
Yeah, he's comic relief now that
and every Kidazaki, all the other Orphanoks just hang out.
Now that Kitazaki's there, he just looks at stuff. It's yeah. There's fucking.
Although we had a cool scene where Sawada goes to meet with Mitsushima. Well, who the fuck is the boss?
I'll never remember.
Smart Brain Man. Smart he goes brain to meet with man. The CEO of Smart Brain.
Mm.
And he turns into this fucking ballin'-ass rose-themed Orphanok and just beats the shit out of him. Yeah. It was cool as fuck.
Puts him in his place. Fucking Sawada, though.
Then the episode just grinds to a halt.
It's this weird thing. I said earlier I like the trope of the good guy gone bad, but only when it makes sense.
Yeah. And
Sawada has this thing that a lot of other Orphanoks seem to have. Where they don't have a reason to be evil, they just turn to Orphanox and like, well, fuck, I guess I gotta throw my humanity away by killing the person yeah. I love. Like,
I'm an Orphanox now, so I guess I just have to murder people. Like, I guess it's just what I do.
Yeah, the only three Orphanox that behave even vaguely realistically are Kaido and Osada and Kiba. All the others are just, like, instantly bad. I don't get it. I don't get it, Jeff.
There's that... I'm right there with you, buddy. There's no motivation for these characters. That's the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can do that with one character if it's their defining trait. Like, Takumi has no motivation.
No, right? Not really.
He's driven to do the right thing, but it's, like, from deep inside of him. It's not near the surface at all.
No.
It just... So he's the one without a motivation, without dreams. But every single character that enters into the plot past, like, the first 20 episodes, maybe past, like, the first 10 episodes,
mm-hmm.
has no motivation at all.
The Orphanox want to kill all humans.
They want to turn Orphanox... They want to turn humans into Orphanox, and mm-hmm. only, like, certain humans can become Orphanox.
So they just murder as fast as they can.
That's it's like a survival thing,
and
I guess.
And all of them have that same motivation? None of them, other than the three... like the three that we know, the three protagonist Orphanox, if you want to call them that, seem to have much beyond that to their character, just that they kill a lot. But that's fine, but you have these really established villains that are like really prominent in the plot in the Lucky Clover, and they're just not interesting characters.
No, they're really not.
The only thing that could be cool is the dynamic between Hojo and Kitazaki, which is mostly played for laughs.
It's just a joke.
Like, nothing plot-related has come of it so far?
Like, there's a scene where he, like, Wile E. Coyote sneaks from tree to tree and just turns 2D behind each tree as he goes into the junkyard to slowly snatch the Delta gear. But he gets caught. Oh, no.
He gets caught. Instead of just putting it on, kicking the guy's ass, he's like, oh, boo-boo-boo-boo-boo, and runs off.
Please, no.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so scared. He roots through the trash for it. It's just played for laughs, which...
it's all a joke, which is dumb. You already have comic relief characters in Keitaro and Kaido.
Kaido, yeah. If the
and
plot
you know what's
just,
funny?
What?
Is, like, Osada had this perfect motivation as a character, right? She wanted to hang on to her humanity, but she hated other humans.
Yes.
Because of the way she'd been mistreated her whole life.
Yes.
But once she joined the main group of Orphanox... The writers were like, alright, what the fuck, how do you write a girl? I don't understand how you write a girl. Girls fall in love, right? Girls love love.
That's true.
So now she loves Kaido. That's her whole character.
I got a question for you, Jeff.
Sure.
Name one thing that Osada does in these past three episodes.
Praises Kaido.
Okay, well, you got me. I had nothing, but you got one thing.
She claps when he dances.
Yes, she claps when Kaido dances. Osada, one of the most interesting characters in the plot, is out. She's out.
She is clapping when Kaido dances. That is her purpose.
If the show
story
just
right now,
if the show, like, I love the first half of the show because it stays tight. It focuses on the three main characters, or the group of main characters, Takumi and his pals, and the three Orphanox, who are easily the three most interesting characters in the show.
And now you have it all muddied with, like, the fucking Lucky Clover shit, the, like, Ryusei school shit.
The whole Ryusei school, which is full of idiots, and the Lucky Clover,
yeah,
which is full of morons.
Absolute morons. Yeah. And the funny thing about it is every time there's a meeting of the Ryusei school kids, there seems to be at least one person who I don't recognize that's with them suddenly. Like, the dude who was like, I'm not part of this, I want to go home. I was like, who the fuck are you? Yeah. When did you enter the plot?
Oh my god, Joe, how could you leave us? You've been here so long.
Yeah, you've been here for a whole 30 seconds of this scene. How could you leave us?
It's the show's becoming really unfocused and relying on some pretty lame stuff to prop itself up. It sucks.
So, Kusaka's a dickhead, right? We all understand that.
Sure.
But what is his motivation for trying to keep Kiba and Takumi from becoming friends?
I don't know. He just keeps saying it'll be inconvenient for him if they're friends.
If you gain more power, it'll be inconvenient. But how will being friends with a guy give him more power?
I guess it's like, it gives him allies.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, but like, they can work together. And kick ass.
Is he planning on killing Takumi later? Is that his plan?
See, if that was clear, they set it up so well. I'm in love with Mari. Mari might like this guy. He's fucking dead. That's great. He's a psycho. Kusaka's a psycho. That's something he would do. But they don't make it clear, and I'm not even sure if that's what he's going for anymore. Like, he just
seems to, like, kind of not want Takumi to be happy. Like, that's his motivation. I don't like this guy. I want him to be unhappy.
His goal is to fuck with this one guy.
Yeah. He is the fucking, what was that guy's name from Juoju who hated...
Bungle.
Bungle. Yeah, he's the Bungle of this series. He just fucking hates this guy and wants to ruin his life. It's his whole motivation.
It sucks, because I like, a lot of secondary riders have shifting allegiances. I like the idea of a secondary rider that's just a bad guy straight from the start.
But they fucking live together, and, like, they keep calling themselves allies of one another, and, like, his motivation just shifts around from scene to scene.
They don't know how to write him. They don't know how to keep him going.
Have them not live together is probably the first step.
if this show focused on just Takumi, Kusaka, Keitaro, Mari, and the three Orphanox, just those seven characters, and everyone else been like a fringe and all the main conflicts between those people, it could be good. But they just, I guess they just ran out of ideas for those seven. Seven people is enough to write a show about, right? Am I crazy?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They just ran out of ideas for those seven and just introduced more and more characters who are less and less interesting.
That's more characters than are on Friends.
And now the show is breaking down. It sucks. And I don't like it.
It's getting pretty bad.
Like, the Lucky Clover could have been an arc. Like, a little 10-episode arc. Oh, here's these badasses. And maybe it would culminate with Takumi and Kusaka working together once to beat the bad guy, and then Kusaka does something unforgivable again. I don't know, just anything.
Yeah, the fucking Lucky Clover is getting on my nerves at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's just continuously like, we need a fourth member. Here's our fourth member. Oh, he wasn't good enough.
And
we need a fourth member.
We gotta get the belts. And they just never get the belts.
Just fucking do something different.
Do something, advance the plot, have an interesting character in you. Just do anything.
Mari's dead. I guess that advances the plot. But it's real obvious she's going to come back to life as an Orphanok in the next episode.
Yeah. Oh, God.
She's going to be an Orphanok, and then Kusaka is going to be like, I'd love an Orphanok now. Oh, no.
That could be interesting, but...
It could be. It's not going to be.
I'm not
going to
give Fies the benefit of the doubt at this point.
I thought you loved this show.
I did. Honestly, episode 1 to 25 or so, I loved it, but it's really starting to break down under its own weight.
Yeah, it's like it built up the Jenga tower, right? But it didn't build it on a solid enough foundation.
No, it built it on a plate of Jell-O. And now it's wibbling, wobbling all over the place.
Sayonara Fies.
I like Takumi, but yeah, sayonara Fies.
Yeah. Let's move on to some nice emails.
Sure.
And we're going to start out with not an email, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
It is a message from Anachronism on Twitter.
Okay.
On the twits.
On the old twits. You should get on there too, at Radio Club Radio. Come on.
True.
True.
She says, hey, saw that the new X8 is up and wanted to send in my question before it was too late or before I forgot. By the by, the show is doing great. I love hearing you guys riff on Fi as my favorite writer and not quite favorite season.
See, like I said, I like Takumi. The show's starting to get fucked up, though.
I'm in the same boat. I like Takumi. I really love a character who's, like, kind of a prick. And he's, like, super closed off, but he's really a good guy deep down inside.
He's an asshole with a heart of gold, which Kamen Rider doesn't have as a main character often.
Not too much.
Not too much.
Sometimes you just have a straight asshole who doesn't even have the heart of gold, like Tendo.
Yeah.
My question is, do either of you write any stories or have any sort of narrative creative pursuits? I know Jeff's an artist, obviously, and Liam has a ... history degree? but seeing as you two are so into not only writer, but other fantastic stories, I was curious if you two ever took a stab at writing whatever those stories that you come up with might be about. Liam?
A stab at writing. I used to do it for fun back in my teenage years. I didn't write anything good, and I threw it all away. As for nowadays, I don't write too often. Other than that story treatment for the 13-episode Ryuki adaptation that I still have sitting around on my computer.
How many episodes did you end up on?
I think I was on 6.
Wow.
And I still want to finish it, but it's all knocking around in my brain. But no, I don't like write shit very often, and even that is technically just some garbage fan fiction, but...
Well, it's not garbage fan fiction if you call it a screenplay.
That's true. It's an adaptation.
Exactly.
Bam.
I write comics a lot that I always think I'm going to get around to like drawing up and releasing, but I never do. And I've also written a small amount of like detective fiction.
Yeah, I remember that.
I released a couple of those way back in the day, but like I've written like an original series of stuff that I never get around to finishing anything in.
That's a shame.
I'm very lazy, so nothing ever gets made all the way through or released or anything, but I do like to write.
Yeah, lately my creative juices are going into piano. I took up piano recently.
All my creative juices are going into Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Zelda?
Along with my waking hours.
Awesome. That game is great.
It is. I do need to get back to doing more art just for fun. Like, I do splash images for this podcast. I do...
I see you posting doodles and stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I do post a lot of doodles on my Twitter.
Yeah.
I do the wallpaper images for M-Class Podcast, now available on iTunes, about all your Star Trek needs. Guest always starring me and Josh Henderson from Continue Show.
Oh, no.
That plug on in there, baby.
Yeah, that was about as smooth as a fucking gravel road.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And curious about what you think about the dichotomy between being a critic and being a creator. I.e., does knowing enough about something to critique it mean you know enough about it to do it yourself?
Nope.
Or are the processes of enjoying and making completely separate? Thanks again for everything.
I think it's not just enough to enjoy something. You gotta know what makes it good. And it's a lot... Like, we can look at Ghost and see how to fix it. But if you were to say, write me a writer show, I could see myself very easily fucking that up if I had to keep it going for 50 episodes. Like, I'm not an experienced writer.
Being able to critique something probably gives you a better base to work from when it comes to making something yourself. Like, a very slight better base.
As long as you can critique it well.
Yeah, I mean, you could see where other people made their pitfalls and avoid them, but the ability to create something yourself is a completely separate ability.
Yeah, like with criticism, you have the hindsight's 20/20. You can say what worked and what didn't, but if you're starting from zero, you're not sure what's going to work and what's not going to work until it's done. It's a much different process. Creativity is a much different process.
And I mean, you can be an art critic. You can look at like a design and be like, "Oh God, the colors in that are terrible," or like that whole design looks gaudy and terrible or whatever. But when you're the one sitting down in front of the computer and you need to make a design for the same thing, you don't have any of the skill set necessary.
Yeah,
and the same thing is true of everything: writing, directing a television series. Baking, yeah, probably.
I'm not going to claim to be any kind of writer just because I talk shit about Kamen Rider's writing all the time.
Yeah, it's a different world.
It's a different world, I'd say.
And there's always that phrase that, like, if you can't do something, become a critic of it.
Yep.
And here we are here on we our are. Podcast, Radical critiquing Radio. These shows.
That should be the banner on all of our episodes.
Thanks for writing in, Anna. She writes in all the time via Twitter DM, and I always completely miss it.
But we got this one.
I wanted to make certain I got that one. Thank you so much for all your messages and for continuing to listen to the podcast.
Thank you.
Our next message is from Adam.
Every single fan is a treasure.
True. True, except you. You know who you are.
Except, yeah, you, Adrian.
Fucking Steve. Our next email is from Adam, who says, "Hey Jeff and Liam, I have come not with a question, but with a challenge."
Uh-oh.
"You must think of a superhero Tyson movie that crosses over all Sentai and Rider, and includes at least 6 face actors, not including the current Riders and Rangers." Signed, friend of the show, Adam. P.S. I believe the Genom CEO is a dating sim bugster, which is how he brainwashed Poppy, and she uses the Tokimekai? She uses the whatever Crisis Gashat, which is probably a dating game. So, Liam.
Yes.
Can you complete that challenge?
No, I'm gonna bow out. Okay, let's assume
fucking try.
Okay, let's assume we live in a fantasy world where I can get any face actor back.
You can get anyone back you want.
That I want. Let's see. So it has everyone in it. It's got some big contrived stupid reason. I would want back.
You get 6.
Jeez, 6. Fuck.
It's a very involved challenge.
Definitely. Oh, I can't say the yellow guy from Sun Vulcan. Shit, he's in jail. Definitely. That was literally my first. I want to get Asao from Sun Vulcan, because I liked him. He was funny. But
he was real funny.
Now
not
he's
anymore.
In prison for having sex with a 15-year-old.
Oh, no.
I'll get the first red guy from Sun Vulcan. He was cool.
He was.
Ryusuke Owashi.
Yes.
Okay, that's one. I would get...
God, he's like ancient at this point.
Can't get stronger, he's dead.
You live in a fantasy world where you can get stronger.
Okay, I get stronger. I get stronger. I get Shinji, because I think he deserves it. He asked to come back for a cameo in Fies, just like... fucking Agito comes back for a cameo in Ryuki's movie. He's like a go to his bistro restaurant. Yeah. And when Ryuki ended, Shinji asked, "Hey, am I gonna get a cameo in Fies?" And Toei was like, "Fuck no!" So I want to
fuck off.
I want to give him this. He can have this. Plus, I love Ryuki, so let's get Shinji back.
Okay, this is a weird cast so far, but go on.
Dan from Jew Ranger. I can't leave.
Okay.
Oh shit. Let's throw Kusaka in there. He's still working in Toku. He was barred, so he can do it. Kusaka.
Okay, you got one more.
One more. Oh, gosh. Who's it going to be? Let's give Takeru another shot. I would bring Takeru
really?
Back.
Really? Yeah. Shin-Nishime.
I think in a fantasy world where the movie is written well, I think he could work in a team like where he's like the Kalo youth or something like that. Give him a personality. Fuck's sake. Maybe he can be good. I just want to have one good memory of this guy before he goes on to do other stuff.
All right.
Yeah, you go. What do you got?
So I get six back, right?
You get six anyone, assuming they're all still alive and not in jail.
No, you picked a dead man. I could pick dead men.
Okay, fine.
I bring back Hongo Takeshi.
Okay. An obvious choice, the original.
Ichimonji Hayato.
Oh, what are you doing?
I bring back...
Don't say V3, I'll kill you.
V3!
No!
Then I bring back...
Don't say Rider Man.
Rider Man!
He's dead, though!
Okay, Rider Man's dead. I bring back Kamen Rider X.
Okay.
And then I bring back Amazon.
What about Sentai?
And then I bring back Stronger.
You have all of Sentai to choose from. What about Sentai's?
Fuck, I picked all my six!
The Legendary Seven minus
Rider Man's dead.
If you're gonna leave,
there's a blue like fuzz on the screen, like a for Rider Man.
What's going on? Didn't Rider Man survive that nuke?
Yeah, in
spirits, but
he comes back.
But he comes back in black too. He totally lived.
Yeah, so he's fine.
He's fine. Black RX, I mean, he comes back. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
That's nuts. That speaks a lot about the resilience of a Showa writer. The weakest guy.
The guy who just has a robot arm. He's a completely normal human otherwise.
He definitely just put the arm between himself and the nuke and absorbed all the impact.
It was fine.
He's fine.
I don't know. That's such a tough question. I would love to bring back the Magnificent Seven, though. That would be amazing.
There's a huge...
The Legendary Seven.
The Legendary Seven.
But I can only pick six. So,
there's such
Rider-Man has to get the boot.
History and all these characters. Like, Sentai, every fucking season has at least five or three Rangers to choose from. And then Rider, every season's usually at two or three Riders to pick from. Some as many as fucking, like, 15. Like, there's so many to choose from. You really gotta narrow it down.
It's true. Three Riders, three Sentai, right?
Okay, well, I mean, that's...
I want Black.
Good choice. Pull him out of retirement, running Billy the Kid. What's the name of that fucking Tex-Mex restaurant he's got?
Blade.
Okay. Pull him out of retirement. Getting his dick sucked.
Ren Kiriyama.
Really?
I love that man.
Wait, Ren Kiriyama.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, it's sorry. I thought you said Ren Akiyama.
No.
Okay.
It's my three.
Okay.
It's my three riders.
Just three riders.
And my three... Sentai, bring back Geki for Jew Ranger.
Good choice.
Bring back Volshark.
You notice we both picked from Jew Ranger and Sun Vulcan because we haven't watched all of
I wonder Sentai's. Why.
Yeah.
I wonder fucking why.
Neither of us have
and,
seen those Sentai's.
Then I bring back fucking...
What do you got? Jetman? Shinkenger? Live Man?
I bring back Amu.
Okay.
Because she's a cutie pie.
She's no Sailor, but she's fine.
Whatever, you piece of shit.
She's coming back for the Video Game Land movie this year's Superhero Wars, yeah.
Yeah, she's a cutie pie.
How about that's why they got her back, I guess.
But how do you cross over all Sentai and all Rider without creating a clusterfuck? That's the real question.
You can't. You can't have that many characters without there being a clusterfuck. You cannot. Unless...
Oh, you have a solution?
Okay, so you take the current Rider.
Okay.
And the current Sentai.
Okay.
Assuming they have worlds that aren't... That can actually cross over. Like, not Q-Ranger where it's all future space, post-apocalyptic Earth.
True. Like,
assuming it's two where you can have them cross over. They're both real. All the other ones are fictional in that universe. And then... Something happens that makes them real. I didn't really know where I was going to finish with that.
I can take it from here.
Okay, go.
A villain arrives on the planet Earth that can make fiction into reality.
Okay.
That can turn two-dimensional creatures three-dimensional.
I see.
Like, and all of the previous Sentai and Riders get brought into the real world as villains.
Okay.
And they're going haywire, and the modern teams have to stop them, but eventually they realize there's no way that they can overpower all these previous generations of Rider and Sentai, so they turn their hearts to justice, and they all fucking team up and destroy the villain at the end. And it's just wacky hijinks in between.
Yeah, as long as you don't... That's the problem with these Superhero Wars movies, is they're unfocused. As long as you keep it tight and don't have anybody talk other than the main cast, then you're good.
That would be fun as hell.
Yeah, that could work. I can see that.
Do you have any ideas, or are you done?
No, I supplied the first half, and you supplied the second half.
Okay, we've created a monster.
This is our joint movie, our Frankenstein movie.
Our next email is from most prolific email writer, Jake the Snake.
Okay.
Who says, "Hey, RCR, first off, it's great to have the opening back properly. Welcome back, Excite."
Yeah.
"I'm surprised with how they used the Mook Riders and thought that the bit about Kamen Riders being rare characters to get power-up items from was clever, and it will hinder the main crew, or at least Emu."
Everything about Kamen Rider Chronicle is very clever.
Yeah, it is. "Man, these Mook Riders really suck, though. None of them even tried to use any power-ups." I didn't even notice that until he pointed it out.
Yeah, that's true. They never even touch them.
Not a single one.
Once the strategy guide gets released, they'll get on that.
"Are there any parts of the updated opening that you find to be really cool touches? I think the transitions showing Tattle Fantasy and Bang Bang Simulations were pretty awesome. And I like that they're keeping in the one quick frame of yellow static to reference Kyria."
Here's something neat, you might notice if you got eagle eyes. In the original intro, when it shows Poppy, it's Poppy in a TV screen and Asuna outside of it. In this one, it's Poppy outside of the TV screen, and Asuna is stuck in the TV screen.
That was a clever touch.
Yeah, because now Poppy's a bad guy, she's brain-controlled, and Asuna's probably not going to appear, so she's stuck in a TV screen. I like that.
My favorite part is the glowing evil silhouette with the glowing eyes that I'm going to guess is the new form for fucking...
Parrot?
Parrot.
Yeah, the red and blue one.
The way the, like... glowing outline is like television static a little bit is fucking cool as hell. It's I love the way clever. It looks.
I like it.
That's my favorite touch.
Okay, yeah. It's a good new intro.
Question 2. "If you guys could have any two of the Rider suits in X8 as costumes in real life, free of charge, what would the second suit you pick be, and why would the first suit be Dangerous Zombie?"
Very nice.
Okay, which two suits would you pick and why is the proper question, but I think anyone would like to have the Dangerous Zombie suit given the chance. It's so cool.
Yeah, you're not wrong. My first one would probably be Dangerous Zombie.
That would be my first
Easily
one.
Easily the best Absolutely. Suit in the show, yeah.
After that,
Brave. Brave Level 2.
I would probably choose Brave Level 2 as well.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
I sniped it, as it were.
Except you didn't pick Snipe.
Yeah, if I had picked Snipe, it would have been a lot better to say that. But
yeah, well, you're stupid.
We're stuck with this.
I gotta go with Brave. Yeah. I really do.
We'd pick the same ones. Yeah, he's got the best level 2 suit out of everyone.
It's the most clean. It's the most approaching a legitimately really cool-ass suit. It's still X-Aid cool, but it's far closer to legitimate cool than the other suits.
Yeah, it's got a more... unified aesthetic, I guess, is the best way I can describe it.
I would choose Laser Level 2 so I could have a sick fucking motorcycle for free.
Would it be a real... Would it just be like a hollow shell if it was just a costume? How's anyone supposed to wear it?
You put it on your real motorcycle, and you can just drive around in it.
It's like Kuga's thing. It's armor that goes on your motorcycle. Clever.
Horse armor,
yeah, as it were.
Thanks and looking forward to the next episode as always, Jake the Snake.
Thanks,
P.S.
Jake.
I hope Poppy bites it in one of the next episodes, hoping really, really hard.
We'll see. Maybe soon.
I'm really fucking hopeful. Although her place in the series right now is pretty much perfect for her.
Yeah, this is a good role for her. The like bubbly instructor. It's good.
Our next email is from Max.
Friend of the show, Max?
Friend of the show, Max.
Max.
He says, "Hey buddies, it's your old pal Max.
Hey.
Just want to say thanks for keeping me entertained for a bit while I'm at work. Hearing your familiar voices makes me think I'm in a Skype call, and I gotta stop myself from joining in on the conversation." It's funny that you say that, because sometimes when I'm listening to an edited episode after I've edited it, and Liam says my name and asks for me to respond, I almost respond before I realize I'm not in a fucking Skype call.
Oh, man. The good old days.
Yeah. Anywho, I guess I should ask you guys a stupid question that I won't care what the answer is, because you both have terrible opinions.
You got it.
What kind of gimmick or theme would you like to see for future Kamen Rider or Sentai? Shift cars, lock seeds, etc. I'd like to see a yo-yo themed or sports themed Kamen Rider or Sentai. If this question was answered before, I don't give a damn. I just want my email read on the podcast. Also, how about that Wild Force Red Ranger guy killing a dude? Now everyone in prison will have wild access to his butt. Love, your friend forever, Max. Here's a picture of the nachos I had for lunch, and I'll go out on a limb here for everybody and let you know that these nachos look pretty fucking good.
Oh, I can't see them because I don't manage emails.
So what about it? Besides wild access to the butt, what type of theme do you think you would love to see in a Kamen Rider now that you got your dream theme of ghosts?
Well, first of all, Wild Force Red killing a guy with a sword is the nutsest. I think that's the craziest thing.
It's the craziest shit
that any Toku actor has ever done.
Even the girl joining the fucking cult isn't anywhere near a dude stabbing a guy with a sword.
That's slightly less. I think it was a samurai sword, too. I think. Yeah. That's nuts.
Jesus.
No one has even... Okay, anyways. What the fuck was it? What theme do you want in future Rider shows? First of all, sports is great.
That would be amazing.
I could absolutely see that for Rider or Sentai.
I want... And then the theme song could be Sports by Huey Lewis.
God, I wish. Would you imagine if you just fired up the next fucking Rider or Kamen Rider show and the theme song was fucking Hip to Be Square or something like that? We ran out of money, so we just licensed a little Huey for the soundtrack.
Fuck yeah, the whole soundtrack to the show is just Huey Lewis hits.
Oh, shit.
Yo-yo themed would be awesome, but it's kind of limited.
Yo-yo, maybe one guy would be a yo-yo and the other guy would be like a bottle rocket. And the other
maybe
guy would
like,
be...
yeah, classic toy themed.
Yeah.
Like toy themed riders would be pretty fucking cool. You could have like a jester rider that's like a Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Shit, as for like what themes I'd like to see? Yeah, Ghost was my dream theme and that's done.
Dinosaur riders.
Dinosaur, fuck you. You could have riders be like a prehistoric animal plus a vehicle or something like that. Yeah, like a dinosaur motorcycle main guy and then like a fucking saber-tooth train or something like that. I could see
that. Just a dinosaur themed. No matter what the secondary theme is, I think that would be cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Because we have so many Super Sentai that are dinosaur themed.
That's true. I think it'd be nice if Rider and Sentai borrowed a little from each other's themes. Have some bug Sentais and some ninja riders or something.
A bug Sentai would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, isn't that like a beetle and an ant, a housefly and a bee? Like, there's so much you can do with that theme.
The Yellow Ranger would obviously be a bee.
A bunglebee, yeah.
It's a bunglebee. That'd be perfect. But no, they don't do that.
They don't do that. Ooh,
nacho themed.
I'm gonna agree with you and say dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs is a very good choice. I can get behind that.
There have been I guess Ryuki is like animal themed.
Kinda.
I think that theme could be expanded upon.
Like
dude, you know what would make a really fucking sick Kamen Rider series?
What's that?
And I've thought about this a lot, is like Journey to the West.
Yeah, Kamen Rider. You have told me about this.
With like, Sun Wukong as the main rider, like, the fucking pig, the kappa, and the monk as the three other riders.
Yeah, it'd be their
shifting
all...
allegiances.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
And, like, the Ox King and his demons as the villains.
Yeah, I could get behind that. That is a little Sentai sounding.
A little bit, but there'd be cool. I'd say they'd be more shifting alliances.
Yeah. Speaking of Rider and Sentai borrowing shit from each other, I'd love to see a Sentai show with shifting allegiances.
That'd be cool. Where the team
happens.
Doesn't really work together very well.
Like they're together, but like there's an arc where the blue guy goes bad for a bit or something, and it actually lasts like 10, 15 episodes, like a real arc or something. Just something cool like that. I wish Sentai would shake it up a little more like that. Even Juojo, which was so good, didn't have anything like that.
Yeah, it's tougher to do in a Sentai setting, I guess, because people are expecting certain things from the show.
It's for a younger audience. It's a little more formulaic. Yeah. So it's...
Super Sentai is far more rigid in its formula.
Yeah, that's true.
But it does allow for like really strong character personalities.
If you know what you're doing, like the people that wrote Juojo, you can really bring something out.
Holiday themed.
You couldn't have it in America.
Like a Halloween rider, a Christmas rider.
They in One Piece there's a group of villains that are all holidays, and they had to change them for the American release because was Golden Week, and obviously you can't have that because they don't fucking know what Golden Week is here.
True.
But they couldn't have Christmas either. There was one who was Miss Merry Christmas, and they changed it to Groundhog Day. Because you can't have you can't just have you can't have Christmas or anything related to like religion in a kid's show. No religious symbols.
Oh man, I bet people were so fucking mad.
I bet all the 8-year-olds watching One Piece were so upset.
Well, they're fucking families.
She wears a little Christmas tree too as a necklace, and they just made it purple. Just
there
to
you
make
go.
It so you forget it's a Christmas tree. It's purple.
There you go. Nobody knows. I would like a rider that's turtle themed.
Like everyone's a different turtle, or there's just one rider?
Just one that's a turtle. That's like turtle. Everybody could be a different type of turtle. I want turtle riders, and there's four of them, and they're color coded and use different weapons.
Oh yeah, that'd be neat. The bad guy could be like a ninja with some claws or something.
That doesn't even make any sense. What does that have to do with turtles?
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, they'll be trained by a giant rat.
Yeah, of course. Oh boy, did you hear they're skipping Juojo? Surprising nobody.
They're skipping a good thing to go do a bad thing instead.
They're going to Power Rangers 9 Force, I think it's called.
Shocking.
Astonishing.
9 Force?
I think it's
They're
nine
like
force.
Really driving this Force shit home,
Force,
aren't they?
Force, Mega Force, 9 Force, Wild Force.
Super Mega Force. When you become super, you become a pirate. I don't know if you know that. That's, super means pirate.
That's true. Make sure you never say the word pirate in the show, though.
Also, thanks for writing in, Max. I know it was difficult for you to write in to your own friends to ask them a question on their shitty podcast, so we appreciate it.
I know it was hard to hide this from your boss while you're doing it at work. We appreciate it.
And thanks, everybody else, for writing in. If you'd like to have your email read on the air... You can send it on in to writerclubradio@gmail.com.
Or, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter at...
Yeah, it's good. You did a great intro to that.
Sort of mix it up a little bit. Say the same thing twice. At writerclubradio. No caps, no spaces, no numbers. And you can have a great experience. We tweet the funniest jokes ever and amazing puns.
No, we don't.
Sometimes. And we retweet a lot of cool stuff, too. So, do that.
By the time you listen to this, it will be one day away. We're going to be releasing a Rider Club commentary for whatever the fuck that last Kamen Rider Ghost movie was. It was
we recorded it like 2 days ago. We've already forgotten. Kamen Rider Ghost, The 100 Icons, and Ghost's Moment of Truth.
Yes.
One of the great cinematic blunders in history.
Were there Were there 100 icons in that movie? I don't remember that being a plot point.
Yeah, but he collects the, all 100 icons and puts them in a circle around the body. I don't remember what the fuck
happens in that. Yeah. We spent so much time talking about shit that had nothing to do with that movie.
We were talking about Serial and The Simpsons or something. I don't remember. We did go off a little bit.
Yeah, it's probably the worst commentary we've ever done, so pick it up!
Make sure, don't miss it. Worst commentary for the worst movie.
And thanks for tuning into this episode of Rider Club Radio. We'll see you again next week.
Good night.
Later.